From Montreal, Quebec, this is the Bar Brawl.
Welcome, Bar Brawlers, to the Bar Brawl. It's not funny. I'm just introducing it. My name is Daniel J. Rowe. My giggling horde of brawlers here. It's not very brawly, although we are in the comedy realm. Mm. I would not approve of this sort of giggling and tomfoolery in the Coriolanus podcast.
It's the great reveal today. The secret. What was our secret third play?
We already revealed that last week.
No, we didn't.
Because we've already done 1 week play. Oh. This is Act Two. You're right.
I thought we didn't say the name of the play in the last.
How long has it been?
Well, we read a whole act of it.
Of the next play.
But did we say it?
But sometimes we have to pretend like it's never
happened.
Guess
what play this
I'm getting married this weekend, or I guess it'll be 2 weekends ago or something
Eric
like that.
Eric Sean is. His mind is not here. We were at a cigar lounge, and I think someone dipped his cigar in embalming fluid or something. And
or something.
How are you feeling today? A little lightheaded?
A little bit.
He's drinking a beer called L'Alchemist, so that must be... They must be our sponsor, I guess, if I'm saying it on the radio.
Today?
Yeah. Everything all right?
Wormwort.
Good to go.
Someone gave him wormwort. Wormwood.
Wormwood? Wart of...
David Wheaton! David Wheaton also here. Andre Simonot at the end, who had just watched P.T. Anderson's new movie, still looks confused.
I'm in a state of shock. More to follow.
Yeah. He's got nothing. This is going to be a weird one.
There's nothing you can say about that movie. Really.
The Master. Yeah, well, you should see it, apparently.
Okay. I would recommend it, but...
But you'll be speechless after.
It's a challenge.
It's a challenge.
Yeah, it's not...
good.
Yeah.
From the crystal clear and uplifting, There Will Be Blood, to the follow-up, The Master.
Yeah.
Is it... Are we in the same boat?
Actually, the way I see it, I think it's probably his second installment in a trilogy that'll be... America in the 20th century. There Will Be Blood is sort of the birth of the 20th century, it seems to me. This is sort of in the 50s, and as things are getting a little bit stranger, and I don't know if he's going to follow up with something to kind of round it off. I guess this could lead into Boogie Nights, but that doesn't seem like it's very complimentary to the first one.
It doesn't really seem like that works. Yeah. That's interesting.
Magnolia
isn't really placed within a time...
Yeah,
it's not so much a period piece as those two seem to be. Anyway, speaking of film, our film critique is here playing sub duty for Sean Malley, who's not here this week.
I'm replacing Sean.
You are replacing Sean, Mr. J. Reed, who introduced the Bard Brawl to the movie critique section. He critiqued Coriolanus. And for our Lithuanian audience out there, Coriolanus is spelled in your language Coriolanas. So all of the Lithuanians who are Google searching it and looking for it, it's spelled differently in Lithuanian. I found that on IMDb.
Wow.
Yeah. You didn't mention it in your critiques.
You know what? You can go rewrite it.
Yeah. I'll edit it. I'll edit it. Lithuanians.
It's worth doing.
It's worth doing.
You're going to do it. Do it right.
Yeah. Virginie Tremblay is not here tonight. She is with cats. Literally. She's always with cats on Tuesdays. You cannot get her away from cats. On
the
Tuesdays.
Musical?
Or? No, actual live cats. Rooms full of cats.
She
it's
a
cat
sitter?
Shelter. No, she volunteers at a cat shelter. Oh. Mickey Lavelle, how was the pizza you were eating?
It's a mouthful.
That's good. Ed rounding at the table, Stephanie E. M. Coleman, one of our two artists for Bard Brawl artwork.
Hmm.
How's it going?
We're good.
Introducing little Kaylee McRae.
Yeah.
Also has done some recent artwork, you may have noticed, on the post and on the podcast.
She's not here tonight.
She's an artist. Yeah. She works with her hands, not with her voice.
Mm.
Act two of The Taming of the Shrew, which we introduced last week.
Yes, we did.
Apparently Eric was here fully for.
Mm.
What happened in act one?
A lot of very confusing stuff. Well, there's a prologue first, where we meet this Christopher Sly character who's drunk in front of a tavern.
I recommend listeners listen to Act 1 because
it's pretty funny.
Not a lot of the productions do the Christopher Sly prologue. And Sean, I'm pretty sure he was drunk when he was doing that. Because
it was very convincing.
It was very convincing. Very convincing. Yeah. The Christopher Sly prologue followed by... what's the point of that?
That's a good question. The post from the first act, I talked a little bit about it, but it's kind of like a framing device. You can picture watching the play and then this Christopher Sly and this page dressed up as a woman are like watching the play as we watch it. And I guess we're supposed to be watching the play he's watching.
Mm-hmm.
But it only makes sense if you listen to the prologue because there's the prank involved with the Lord. And then at the end of the prologue, we sort of more or less leave that behind, mm-hmm. and the play starts with...
They come back once.
Yeah, they have three lines each, or something like that, where they say, do you like the play? I'd really much rather we be sleeping together. Well, you watch the play.
Hilarious.
Yeah.
Do people ever stage it where the characters, like Christopher Sly, the actors, have to stay on stage the whole time and watch the whole thing every time?
I've never seen it.
Get into the audience, maybe, with the crowd?
Yeah, maybe, yeah.
I can't imagine them ever doing that. That would be so awkward.
The description that I've
go off in the backstage.
For a film version, I could see it. They end up sitting in front of a TV,
mm-hmm.
and it zooms in.
Yeah.
And then it goes.
Yeah. As if the snow, maybe, as if they're watching snow.
But then
that's a whole TV.
But I remember reading that one theory of it is the Elizabethan playhouses had like a balcony, like a second floor balcony, right where you'd stage the Romeo and Juliet scene or whatever. And they would actually spend their time on the balcony looking, so we'd be looking at the play and they'd basically be looking back at the audience in a way and looking down at the play on the
upstage
floor. So I don't know whether or not, I don't know what evidence exists for that, but.
Well, when I was at the Globe, watching a play. Yeah, there was. It's the same design as the original Globe that burnt down.
Does it look like the theater in Shakespeare in Love?
Yeah, it does. Oh. Not as dirty and grimy, but very
similar.
It will
be.
Yeah.
True.
After civilization collapses.
Yes.
Oh. Do they put a lot of plays on there?
They must.
Yeah. Yes. They have regular
ones. Like Shakespeare.
Othello.
You can do Shakespeare then.
Yeah, Othello.
Okay.
That's a Shakespeare play.
Mm.
Kevin Spacey probably directed that and starred in it.
As Othello and Iago.
Yeah. It was the guy from Oz that was Othello.
Okay.
I don't remember
the Anabasi guy?
Yeah, he was Othello. And then the guy from Notting Hill was Iago.
Hugh Grant?
No, not Hugh Grant.
No, the guy with the blonde hair, the skinny guy?
No, Russian not Prince? The Welsh guy. I forget. He was like... I read in the program, from Notting Hill, that was the only
was Colin
movie
Firth
I remember.
In Notting Hill?
Colin Firth was not in Notting Hill.
Who
but
was
it was
Notting Hill?
It doesn't matter. Let's move on.
Act 1?
In Act 2, Act 1, there's all of this tomfoolery where Hortensio,
mm-hmm.
the young douchebag, which was me, and Gremio, the old creepy guy, which was Virginie, which today will be played by... Mika LaBelle, want to love and woo the beautiful Bianca, who our artist, Kaylee McRae, called a bitch.
Mm. She may be right. She may be onto something.
That is Bianca. And so Bianca, played by Mr. Who's playing Bianca?
Is it me?
It's gonna be
me.
Yes.
Mickey.
Yes.
She's just got a little bit in this act anyway, so that's not a big deal. Katharina, the shrew that can't be dealt with, is being... Petruchio is manipulated by the other two to woo her for her money, even though he has money.
No, Petruchio's father died and left him relatively poor.
I thought he said,
so
I have money in my pockets and I want to spend it. And
no, that's Lucentio who shows up and says, I've got cash, I'm living at my dad's expense, and here I am to have a good time.
Lucentio also wants to get Bianca.
Yeah.
Yes.
So Petruchio
but Petruchio
wants
goes,
Katharina.
Didn't explain it.
He's like, don't even show me what she looks like, I don't get
it. Yeah,
man.
She's got cash, I'm in.
I want money. And the reason he has to is because Bianca and Katharina's father, Baptista, played by Jay Reed, is said that until Katharina's married, Bianca doesn't get to get married. So the three of them have to. Now it gets more confusing when Lucentio decides to dress up like a servant and then dress up like a tutor.
For obvious reasons.
For the obvious reason that he's going to woo Bianca. Mm-hmm. While his servant, Tranio, is dressed up like Lucentio.
But Lucentio, or dressed up as the tutor, is pretending to be a tutor hired by Gremio in order to woo on Gremio's behalf.
Right.
Because it's not confusing enough yet.
Oh my goodness. Yeah. Act 2, Scene 1, Padua. And feel free to listen to some of the lovely Italian that was read in last episode. I used to listen to an Italian... Learned to speak Italian podcast when I lived in Japan, and I gotta say...
ItalianPodGente1.com.
There it is.
What is that? Is that Italian?
Yeah.
What does that mean? Yeah.
It's Italian Podcast 101. Yeah. That's what that means. What
Very good. So we are in Padua. We are in Italia.
Internet.
A room in Baptista Minola's house. Baptista? J. Reed. Enter Katharina and Bianca.
Good sister, wrong me not, nor wrong yourself to make a handmaid and slave of me. That I disdain. But for these other gods, unbind my hands. I'll pull them off myself. Yea, all my raiments to my petticoat, or what you will command me will I do, so well I know my duty to my elders.
Of all thy suitors here, I charge thee tell whom thou lovest best. See thou dissemble not.
Believe me, sister, of all the men alive, I never yet beheld that special face which I could fancy more than any other.
Minion, thou liest! Is it not Hortensio?
If you affect him, sister, here I swear I'll plead for you myself. You shall have him.
Oh, then, the like you fancy riches more, you will have Gremio to keep you fair.
Is it for him you do envy me so? Nay, then, you jest, and now I well perceive you have but jested with me all this while. I prithee, Sister Catherine, untie my hands.
If that be jest, and all the rest was so.
Strikes her.
Psh. Smash.
Enter, Baptista.
Why, how now, dame? Whence grows this insolence? Bianca, stand aside. Poor girl, she weeps. Go, apply thy needle. Meddle not with her. For shame, thou hilding of a devilish spirit. Why dost thou wrong her that did near wrong thee? When she does cross thee with a bitter word.
Her silence flouts me, and I'll be revenged.
I just want to mention here that I do not condone striking women.
Oh. Neither do I. I don't either. Yeah. Dave doesn't either. I'm not a fan.
Flies after Bianca.
What? In my sight? Bianca, get thee in.
That's Baptista.
Oops.
That doesn't make sense, but...
True. Stage direction to a hockey-related... Baptista checks her.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. So it must throw against the wall or something.
Hockey adaptation, Timmy the Shrew.
Okay, Baptista.
I know they own.
Oh, what in my sight? Bianca, get thee in.
Exit Bianca.
What, will you not suffer me? Nay, now I see she is your treasure. She must have a husband. I must dance barefoot on her wedding day, and for your love to her lead apes in hell. Talk not to me, I will go sit and weep till I can find occasion of revenge.
Oh, I'd love to lead apes in hell. Exit.
Was ever gentleman thus grieved as I? But who comes here?
Enter Gremio Lucentio in the habit of a mean man, Petruchio with Hortensio as a musician, and Tranio as Lucentio with his boy Biondello, bearing a lute and books.
Biondello.
He's a servant of Lucentio's father, I think.
Who's going to read him?
I'll read him. I don't think he's
anything. Better questions.
Okay, now Miki is reading Gremio.
Good morrow, neighbor Baptista.
Good morrow, neighbor Gremio. God save you, gentlemen.
And you, good sir, pray, have you not a daughter called Katharina, fair and virtuous?
I have a daughter, sir, called Katharina.
You are too blunt. Go to it, orderly.
You wrong me, Signor Gremio. Give me leave. I am a gentleman of Verona, sir, that hearing of her beauty and her wit, her affability and bashful modesty, her wondrous qualities and mild behavior, I am bold to show myself a forward guest within your house, to make mine eye the witness of that report which I so oft have heard. And for an entrance to my entertainment, I do present you with a man of mine.
Presenting Hortensio.
Cunning in music and the mathematics, to instruct her fully in those sciences whereof I know she is not ignorant. Accept of him, or else you do me wrong. His name is Licio, born in Mantua.
You're welcome, sir, and he for your good sake. But for my daughter, Catherine, this I know. She's not for your turn, the more my grief.
I see you do not mean to part with her, or else you like not of my company.
Mistake me not. I speak but as I find. Whence are you, sir? What may I call your name?
Petruchio is my name. Petruchio, Petruchio, Antonio's son. A man well known throughout all Italy.
I know him well. You are welcome for his sake.
Saving your tale, Petruchio, I pray. Let us that our poor gentleman speak, too. Beccare, You are marvelous forward.
No, pardon me, Signor Gremio, I would fain be doing.
I doubt it not, sir, but you will curse your wooing. Neighbor, this is a gift very grateful, I'm sure of it, to express the like kindness myself that have been more kindly beholding to you than any, freely give unto you this young scholar...
Presenting Lucentio.
...that hath been long studying at Reims, as cunning in Greek and Latin and other languages as other in music and mathematics. His name is Cambio. Pray accept his service.
1,000 thanks, Signor Grimmon. Welcome, good Cambio.
To Tranio.
But, gentle sir, methinks you walk like a stranger. May I be so bold to know the cause of your coming?
Pardon me, sir, the boldness is my own, that being a stranger in the city here do make myself a suitor to your daughter, unto Bianca fair and virtuous. Nor is your firm resolve unknown to me, in the preferment of the eldest sister. This liberty is all that I request, that upon knowledge of my parentage, I may have welcome amongst the rest that woo, and free access and favor as the rest. And towards the education of your daughters I here bestow a simple instrument, and this small packet of Greek and Latin books, if you accept them, then their worth is great.
Lucentio is your name. Of whence, I pray?
Of Pisa, sir, son to Vincentio.
A mighty man of Pisa. By report, I know him well. You are very welcome, sir. Take you the lute, and you the set of books. You shall go see your pupils presently. Holla, within.
Enter, Baptista servant.
Sirrah, lead these gentlemen to my daughters, and tell them both they are their tutors. Bid them use them well.
Exit Baptista's servant with Lucentio and Hortensio, Biondello following. See, he didn't say anything.
We will go walk a little in the orchard, and then to dinner. You are passing welcome, and so I pray you all to think yourselves.
Signor Baptista, my business asketh haste, and every day I cannot come to woo. You knew my father well, and in him me left solely heir to all his lands and goods, which I have bettered rather than decreased. Then tell me, if I get your daughter's love, what dowry shall I have with her to wife?
After my death, the one half of my lands, and in possession 20,000 crowns.
And for that dowry I'll assure her of her widowhood, be it that she survive me, in all my lands and leases whatsoever. Let specialties be therefore drawn between us, that covenants may be kept on either hand.
Aye. When the special thing is well obtained, that is, her love, for that is all in all.
Why, that is nothing, for I tell you, father, I am as peremptory as she proud-minded. And where two raging fires meet together, they do consume the thing that feeds their fury. Though little fire grows great with little wind, yet extreme gusts will blow out fire and all. So I to her, and so she yields to me, for I am rough woo, not like a babe.
Well, mayest thou woo, and happy be thy speed. But be thou armed for some unhappy words.
Aye, to the proof, as mountains are for winds, that shake not, though they blow perpetually.
Enter Hortensio, as Licio, with his head broke.
How now, my friend, why dost thou look so pale?
For fear, I promise you, if I look pale.
What? Will my daughter prove a good musician?
I think she'll sooner prove a soldier. Iron may hold with her, but never lutes.
Why then thou thus can't not break her to the lutes?
Why, no, for she hath broke the lute to me. I did but tell her she mistook her frets and bowed her hand to teach her fingering, when, with a most impatient devilish spirit, "Frets! Call you these?" quoth she. "I'll fume with thee!" And with that word she stroke me on the head, and through the instrument my pate made way, and there I stood amazed for a while, as on a pillory looking through the lute, while she did call me rascal fiddler and twanging jack, and 20 such failed terms. And had she studied to misuse me so,
Now by the world, it is a lusty wench. I love her 10 times more than e'er I did. Oh, how long to have some chat with her. Oh, how I long to have some chat with her.
Well, go with me, and be not so discomfited. Proceed in practice with my younger daughter. She's apt to learn and thankful for good turns. Signor Petruchio, will you go with us, or shall I send my daughter Kate to you?
I pray you do. I will attend her here.
Exit Baptista with Gremio, Tranio, and Hortensio. Manet, Petruchio.
And woo her with some spirit when she comes. Say that she rail, why then I'll tell her plain. She sings as sweetly as a nightingale. Say that she frown, I'll say she looks as clear as morning roses newly washed with dew. Say she be mute and will not speak a word, then I'll commend her volubility and say she uttereth piercing eloquence. If she do bid me pack, I'll give her thanks as though she bid me stay by her a week. If she deny to wed, I'll crave the day when I shall ask the banns and when be married. But here she comes now. But here she comes, and now, Petruchio, speak.
Enter Caterina.
Good morrow, Kate, for that's your name, I hear.
Well, have you heard, but something hard of hearing, they call me Catherine that do talk of me.
You lie in faith, for you are called plain Kate, and bonny Kate, and sometimes Kate the cursed. But Kate, the prettiest Kate in Christendom, Kate of Kate Hall, my super dainty Kate, for dainties are all Kates, and therefore, Kate, take this of me, Kate of my consolation. Hearing thy mildest praised in every town, thy virtue spoke of, and thy beauty sounded, yet not so deeply as to thee belongs, myself am moved to woo thee for my wife.
Moved? In good time, let him that moved you hither remove you hence. I knew you at the first, you were immovable.
Why, what's immovable?
A joint stool.
Thou hast hit it. Come, sit on me.
Asses are made to bear, and so are you.
Wink.
Women are made to bear, and so are you.
Wink.
No such jade as you, if me you mean.
Alas, good Kate, I will not burden thee for knowing thee to be but young and light.
Too light for such a swain as you to catch, and yet as heavy as my weight should be.
Should be, should. Buzz.
Well ta'en, like a buzzard.
Oh, slow-winged turkle. Oh, slow-winged turtle. Shall a buzzard take thee?
High for a turtle as he takes a buzzard.
Come, come, you wasp. If faith, you are too angry.
If I be waspish, best beware my sting.
My remedy is then to pluck it out.
High, if the fool could find where it lies.
Who knows not where a wasp doth wear his sting? In his tail.
In his Boink. Tongue.
Ooh. Whose tongue?
Yours, if you talk of tails, and so farewell.
What, with my tongue in your tail? Nay, come again. Good Kate, I am a gentleman.
That'll dry.
She strikes him.
Smash. Well, I'm just hitting people.
I don't mind if a woman hits a man. But a man hits a woman, I do not condone.
Mm. What about when a woman hits a woman?
Yeah. Also bad.
No. Oh, so only a woman can hit a man.
What if a really small man hits a big, big woman?
Much. Mm.
What if a really big woman?
Petruchio, continue.
Petruchio, whose views I do not share nor condone, says, I swear I'll cuff you if you strike again.
So may you lose your arm. It's not like he's really got much. I don't know. Playing field's pretty even here. If you strike me, you are no gentleman. And if no gentleman, why then no arms?
A herald, Kate? Oh, put me in thy books.
What is your crest? A cock's comb?
A combless cock, so Kate will be my hen.
No cock of mine, you crow too like a craven.
No, come, Kate, come. You must not look so sour.
It is my fashion when I see a crab.
Why, here's no crab, and therefore look not sour.
There is.
Then show it me.
Had I a glass, I would.
What, you mean my face?
Well, aimed at such a young one.
Now, by S. George, I am too young for you.
Yet you are withered.
'Tis with cares.
I care not.
Nay, hear you, Kate, in sooth you scape not so.
I chafe you if I tarry. Let me go.
No, not a whit, I find you passing gentle. 'Twas told me you were rough and coy and sullen. And now I find report a very liar, for thou art pleasant, gamesome, passing courteous, but slow in speech. Yet sweet as springtime flowers. Thou canst not frown, thou canst not look askance, nor bite the lip, as angry wenches will. Nor hast thou pleasure to be cross and talk, but thou with mildness entertainest thy wooers, with gentle conference, soft and affable. Why does the world report that Kate doth limp? Oh, slanderous world, Kate, like the hazel twig, is straight and slender and as brown in hue as hazelnuts and sweeter than the kernels. Oh, let me see thee walk, thou dost not halt.
Go, fool, and whom thou keep'st command?
Did ever Diane so become a grove as Kate this chamber with her princely gait? Oh, be thou Diane, and let her be Kate, and then let Kate be chaste and Diane sportful.
Where did you study all this goodly speech?
It is extempore, from my mother's wit.
A witty mother, witless else her son.
Am I not wise?
Yes, keep you warm.
Marry, so I mean, sweet Catherine, in thy bed. And therefore, setting all this chat aside, thus in plain terms, your father hath consented that you shall be my wife, your dowry is agreed on, and will you, nill you, I will marry you. Now, Kate, I am a husband for your turn. For this, thy light whereby I see thy beauty doth make me like thee well, thou must be married to no man but me. For I am he, and born to tame you, Kate, and bring you from a wild Kate to a Kate comfortable as other household Kates.
Enter, Baptista, Gremio, Tranio, and Lucenzio.
Here comes your father. Never make denial. I must and will have Catherine to my wife.
Now, Signor Petruchio, how speed you with my daughter?
How but well, sir, how but well. It were impossible I should speed amiss.
Why, how now, daughter Catherine, is your dumps? In your dumps.
Yes, in your dumps. How is your dumps?
Regular.
Large.
Maybe I'll repeat that one.
One more time.
Why, how now, daughter Catherine, in your dumps?
So will never be better than that line.
Still bad. Why now?
Call you me daughter? Now I promise you, you have showed a tender fatherly regard to wish me wed to one half lunatic, a madcap ruffian, and a swearing jack that thinks with oaths to face the matter out.
Father, 'tis thus. Yourself, all the world that talked of her, have talked amiss of her. If she be cursed, it is for policy. For she's not froward, but modest as the dove. She is not hot, but temperate as the morn. For patience she will prove a second Gristle and Roman Lucrece for her chastity. And to conclude, we have agreed so well together that upon Sunday is the wedding day.
I'll see thee hanged on Sunday first.
Hark, Petruchio. She says she'll see thee hanged first.
Is this your speeding? Nay, then, good night our part.
Be patient, gentlemen, I choose her for myself. If she and I be pleased, what's that to you? 'Tis bargain twixt us and twain, being alone, that she shall still be cursed in company. I tell you, 'tis incredible to believe how much she loves me. Oh, the kindest Kate! She hung about my neck, and kiss on kiss, she vied so fast, protesting oath on oath, that in a twink she won me to her love. Oh, you are novices, 'tis a world to see how tame, when men and women are alone, a meacock wretch can make the curtest shrew. Give me thy hand, Kate, I will unto Venice to buy apparel against the wedding day. Provide the feast, father, and bid the guest, I will be sure my Catherine shall be fine.
I know not what to say, but give me your hands. God send you joy, Petruchio, 'tis a match.
Amen, say we. We will be witnesses.
Father and wife and gentlemen, adieu. I will to Venice. Sunday comes apace. We will have rings and things and fine array. And kiss me, Kate. We will be married a Sunday.
Exeunt Petruchio and Catherine severely?
Severally.
Severally.
So, like, in different directions.
Oh, okay.
Was ever match clapped up so suddenly?
Faith, gentlemen, now I play a merchant's part, and venture madly on a desperate mart.
'Twas a commodity lay fretting by you. 'Twill bring you gain or perish on the seas.
The gain I seek is quiet in the match.
No doubt, but he hath got a quieter catch. But now, Batista, your younger daughter, now is a day we long have looked for. I am your neighbor, and was suitor first.
And I am one that loves Bianca more than words can witness, or your thoughts can guess.
Youngling, thou canst not love so dear as I.
Pray, beard, thy love doth freeze.
But thine doth fry, skipper, stand back. 'Tis age that nourisheth.
But youth in ladies' eyes that flourisheth.
Content you, gentlemen, I will compound this strife. 'Tis deeds must win the prize, and he of both that can assure my daughter greatest dower shall have my Bianca's love. Say, Signor Gremio, what can you assure her?
First, as you know, my house within the city is richly furnished with plate and gold, basins and ewers to lave her dainty hands, my hangings all of Tyrian tapestry, in ivory coffers I have stuffed my crowns, in cypress chest my arras counterpoints, costly apparel, tents, canopies, fine linen, Turkey cushions, bossed with pearl, valance of Venice, gold and needlework, pewter and brass, and all things that belong to house for housekeeping. Then, at my farm, I have 100 mulchkin to the pail, 60 far oxen standing in my stalls, and all things answerable to this portion. Myself, I'm struck in years, I must confess. And if I die tomorrow, this is hers. If while I live, she will only be mine.
That only came well in. Sir, list to me. I am my father's heir and only son. If I may have your daughter to my wife, I'll leave her houses 3 or 4 as good, within rich Pisa's walls, as any one old Signor Gremio had in Padua. Besides 2,000 ducats by the year of fruitful land, all of which shall be her jointure. What have I pinched you, Signor Gremio?
2,000 ducats by the year of land? My land amounts not to so much in all. That she shall have, besides an argosy that now is lying in Marseille Road. What, have I choked you with an argosy?
Gremio, 'tis known my father has no less than 3 great argosies, beside 2 galleasses and 12 tight galleys. These I will assure her, and twice as much, whatever thou offerest next.
Nay, I have offered all. I have no more, and she can have no more than all I have. If you like me, she shall have me and mine.
Why, then the maid is mine from all the world. By your firm promise, Gremio is outvied.
I must confess your offer is the best, and let your father make her the assurance. She is your own, else you must pardon me. If you should die before him, where is her dower?
That's but a cavil. He is old and I young.
And may not young men die as well as old?
Well, gentlemen, I am thus resolved. On Sunday, next you know, my daughter Catherine is to be married. Now on the Sunday following shall Bianca be bride to you if you make this assurance. If not, to Signor Gremio. And so I take my leave, and thank you both.
Exit.
Adieu, good neighbor. Now I fear thee not. Sirrah, young gamester, your fathers were a fool to give thee all, and in his warning age, so foot under thy table. Tut, a toy. An old Indian fox is not so kind, my boy.
You have Indian?
Oh, Italian.
Oh. I thought it was interesting that you had Indian.
Yeah. Exit.
Oops.
Sorry.
A vengeance on your crafty withered hide, yet I have faced it with a card of 10. Is it my head to do my master good? I see no reason, but suppose Lucentio must get a father, supposed called Vincentio, and that's a wonder. Fathers commonly do get their children, but in this case of wooing, child shall get a sire if I fail not of my cunning.
Exit. Da, 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 Gremio and Petruchio are the only ones who are actually acting as themselves.
Pretty much. Of the
and
wooers.
The girls.
Yeah.
And the girls.
So Hortensio is no longer. He's not even the
contestant. Well, no. Hortensio is. Petruchio offers Hortensio, but he calls him Lizio, as a tutor to Bianca and Kate.
So
the same way that...
Hadn't Hortensio already met Batista, though?
That's the confusing part.
He's wearing a
mustache.
Costume. Yeah,
the nose
and
the glasses, the mustache.
You can't tell who he is. He's wearing a costume.
He changed his voice.
He changed his name.
You can't tell.
You're just like, I'm disguised. Boom.
The one that never gets me is Tranio is acting as Lucentio to woo Bianca... For Lucentio, who's acting as Tranio.
But I think he's just putting on it. It's like misdirection. He's just putting on a show. He has no
That's actually Dan Panese. I was talking to him about why I like this play, and that's just the reason. He loves all of the just misdirection and total...
well, it's clever, because Tranio, as Lucentio, manages to actually win Bianca, which means when Lucentio, disguised as the
Cambio,
the tutor, Cambio, thank you, actually manages to convince her, oops, I may have given it away, actually manages to win Bianca, right. The problem, like, it sort of comes full circle, because Lucentio, quote-unquote, has already gotten permission, and they just sort of bait and switch. They switch places and go, and then there's a bit with the dad.
So yeah, that's so funny. It's like a two-part thing where the Lucentio, in disguise as the tutor, is actually winning Bianca's heart, and then Tranio, in disguise as Lucentio, is winning the father's deed.
Well, it's almost like he's having him sign the dotted line so then he can show him the contract and say, well, you told me that Lucentio could have her, and Lucentio has her now.
Yeah,
but
and costumes don't nullify that. Or...
They limit it. They like it's like two negatives make a plus. It's like it's okay.
I think it's a like a narrative excuse for him because he intertwines two plots. He has the oral shrew tale, which is Petruchio and Kate, and then he has the courtly lover's tale, which is Bianca and Lucentio. So that little switch allows him to intertwine those two. Narratives, which are the two, you know, love narratives he has going through the play, because the only thing that he really does in this play that's original is to take those two threads and weave them together, because both the shrew tale is classic and exists before, and so is the courtly love tale. So they're both classic tales that he mixes up.
And he makes one depend on the other.
Yeah.
It's a brilliant play.
I actually really like the play.
Yeah,
I think individual moments of the play are amazing. There are great little exchanges and stuff like that, but I just think it doesn't hold together as a whole. It sort of falls apart halfway through the fourth act, and then the fifth act is just like, what?
There's a feast, and remember when we were watching it, we were like, oh, it'd be good if they ended it right here. And they had that extra, like, scene, and you're like, oh, yeah. Some of these things
it'd be a better play if Kate murdered Petruchio in his sleep and went home to her dad, and
or you just put it in the subtext. You don't have her actually say it, but just like holding a cleaver.
She comes out.
She just says all the lines just really sarcastically with a
and has this heart.
Well, that's why the Zeffirelli movie is interesting, because at the end, given that it's Elizabeth Taylor and Richard Burton playing Kate and Petruchio, when she gives her speech at the end, she kind of stands up and she plays it straight, but she kind of storms off, and Richard Burton as Petruchio kind of runs after her sort of timidly, and he tries to get to her, and the crowd keeps coming in his way, so he visually allows her to have kind of the one up at the end, which I guess is his way of explaining, of course, the big problem that everybody has with the play is, why does Kate
stay?
Why does she end up claiming to love Petruchio?
Well, we get to it.
Petruchio is Heath Ledger.
Well, that's a conversation we'll have to get into in Act 5.
And that will have to wait for Act 5, but this one scene, Act 2, is finished.
Yeah.
We move on to Act 3 when more wooing ensues. It's funny, because Petruchio has already sort of, well, he hasn't really wooed Kate, but he told her they're getting married.
And Dad said, okay.
They've acknowledged each other as worthy rivals.
Yeah. Plus, I think that's the only scene where they're alone together.
Mm-hmm. No, there's the other one where he's torturing her later.
There's always servants around.
Yeah, that's true.
It's the only scene where they're actually...
Well, don't ruin anything. Well, stay tuned. Thank you for listening to the Act 2 of The Taming of the Shrew. I thank you to Eric Jean, David Wheaton, Andre Simoneau. I almost called you David. Jay Reed, Mickey Lavelle. Yeah, you didn't actually read it. Did you have any lines?
No.
Thanks for coming.
Sorry, I'll be back next week.
You added your input, and you saw the master. We needed to bring you back down to...
I needed all that time.
We needed some decompression. Yeah. And Stephanie E.M. Coleman, stop by barbrawl.com and read critiques, views, listen to podcasts, and leave a comment. Subscribe on Facebook, subscribe on iTunes, like on Facebook, follow on Twitter. But we don't have a Twitter, so just the first two.
Follow on Sidewalk.
oh so happy. Thank you.
Sonnet 20. A woman's face with nature's own hand painted hast thou, the master mistress of my passion. A woman's gentle heart, but not acquainted with shifting change, as is false woman's fashion. An eye more bright than theirs, less false and rolling, gilding the object whereupon it gazeth. A man in hue, all hues in his controlling, which steals men's eyes and woman's souls amazeth. And for a woman wert thou first created, till nature, as she wrought thee, fell a-doting, and by addition me of thee defeated. By adding one thing to my purpose, nothing. But since she pricked thee out for woman's pleasure, mine be thy love, and thy love's use their treasure.